But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Give us a player on your team that you admire.
That's a good one that I admire. I admire Saquon right now.
Saquon Barkley.
Great answer.
You got it.
Because of where he's come from and just how he got just how he handling all the success. You know, I admire that.
You see him just totally humble and
even him sliding.
Like, yeah, what are people saying about that part too? Man. That again, you know, just always does the right thing.
He does seem
somehow
to always say and do the right thing. It's incredible.
You probably been through so much that you was going against, you know, some being mad and doing some stuff that you was going against, and now being here and learning probably so much because Coach Sirianni, I tell you, he talk about those little things so much, and situational ball is at an all-time high right now.
How strange was that, being an opponent to Saquon? I mean, he had to seem like a good guy even when you're playing against him.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of those guys who's just such a good guy. It kind of just, again, like Nakobe exudes the leadership, Saquon kind of exudes the fine quality human being thing. Like, when you were playing against him, did that come out? Did you hate him as much as you would hate another running back who was that good?
I was trying to get him. So I ain't like him. but I know.
I'm just wondering, was he that nice that it really was hard to hate him?
Well, he was talking back. So, I was on him. So I didn't really get to see this side of him that I see. But I know what you.
There you go. All right. So here's the key: know the name Saquon Barkley Friday at 8 o'clock, and the other three names we'll say one tomorrow, one Thursday, one Friday at 8. With the four names total, you got to listen all 4 days. With the four names, you can win tickets. And what a ticket it is. Pair of tickets, by the way. To the Eagles and the L.A. Rams. I guess first time the Eagles have played the L.A. Rams playoff game here?
Maybe ever.
Ever,
right?
I would assume.
I can't think. Oh, no. They're the NFC St. Championship Louis game in 01 or whatever.
That's St. Louis.
Right? Yeah, in St. Louis. The Rams. Yeah. I was just thinking of playoff games against the Rams in general, but yeah.
And then the Eagles played the Rams in, 49, I think, winning the championship out there. All right, Rhea, with these tickets, people can win the tickets.
And thanks to our great partner, NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
All right, so let's play some audio from yesterday. Obviously, there was a lot of consternation in the air of the Jalen thing, how he played and how people perceive it moving forward. All right, John, I'm going to come to you for the second time today. Do we play the pro-Jalen audio or the anti-Jalen audio first? We have two all-time Eagles. We have two members. Is LeSean in the Eagles Hall of Fame yet?
This year, remember?
Yeah, when
a couple months ago, right? Yeah. All right, we have two members of the Eagles Hall of Fame. We have LeSean McCoy and Seth Joyner. Do we play the pro or anti first, Mr. John Ritchie?
Let's go pro.
All right, pro first this time. That would be Seth Joyner, who was spitting fire yesterday. Here's Seth Joyner. You hear some of that, Brandon?
I've seen that.
You saw it going around the social media?
Uh-huh.
Holy mackerel. Here's Seth Joyner yesterday pumping up what Jalen put out there.
You know what people do? People look at the stat line. Oh, 13 of whatever for 131 yards, and then they go blind because they don't see the damn touchdown.
Do you think Jalen...
They go blind because they don't go to the end of the line and see the 111 rating.
Do you think
Jalen?
You understand what I'm saying, John?
Do you think Jalen?
I told you I'm here to rescue you today, my friend.
Do you think Jalen was good yesterday?
Jalen was good enough yesterday.
I know he was good enough. Do you think
he was good enough? That's all that mattered yesterday. That's all that mattered yesterday.
Well, that's like saying Mario Chalmers was good enough because he played with LeBron, Wayne, and Bosh. Okay, but then
did they win a championship?
Yes.
Okay, then he was good enough.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean he's good.
He was good enough.
I agree.
Okay?
We agree.
Every year is different.
And next week, I think he'll be better.
In 2017, they were good enough to win the Super Bowl, okay? Mm-hmm. In 2000,
Seltzer put Adam Eaton into the Phillies Hall of Fame.
21-22.
He was good enough.
Guess what? They were good enough. They were almost good enough, short by 3 points to get there. Right now, they're good enough to play next week. And guess what? Yeah. That's all the damn matters. Okay.
All right, so Seth was spitting a lot of fire yesterday. Most of it was very pro-Hurts. All right, so in the midst of that, LeSean McCoy was on TV yesterday. He had a very different perspective when he was on FS1.
If them backup quarterbacks for my team, for my Eagles, play, we smoke the Packers. Mm. Let me say it again. If the backup quarterbacks, because we're going to talk about rust, them dudes don't even play. Backups don't get no chance to, like, knock the rust off?
Yeah.
Do y'all?
No.
They got to go out there and play. Tanner goes out there and puts up. Come on.
Not Tanner. And I'll actually pick it. They will get
both of them. I'm going to pick it next because Pickett can run, too. Pickett will ball out also.
All right, so you got the Eagles legends on the record.
Shady sounded like a WIP caller right there.
All right, 215.
That's what he turned into right there.
592-9494. Brandon, how does Jalen, as you perceive it, deal with the criticism? I mean, it happens, right? He gets criticized.
Mm-hmm.
It seemingly, from my perspective, he seems... And I'll use the word seems, unaffected. He just goes about his business, is how I perceive it. Is that accurate?
Yeah. That's how it go. Because you got to. Because everybody's not going to like everything about you. And when he was on, I mean, what game was that?
Why would
Steelers,
he hear it?
Steelers game?
Well, why would he hear it? It's because almost
he's
unavoidable.
Not paying any attention.
Hard not to hear it,
it's
though.
Hard not to, but he's going about it the right way. You don't really see him harping on it too much. I mean, he's still been him. People might not like the calmness of it. They want a little more fire or whatever it is. But it's like, look, he is the guy for the job. And we won the game. And winning definitely cures all. But as long as you're getting better as you go, that's it.
It doesn't seem like it definitely cures all when it comes to Jalen. Like, that bothers me. Like, why doesn't it? Like, what else will he have to do this time, mm-hmm. Joe, in order for you to feel like he did enough? Like, he is our quarterback for a long time now.
Well, look,
there's know that
steeper
is our guy.
There's steeper competition ahead is the way I'd answer that question. I mean, there is a pretty big difference between beating Green Bay week one in the playoffs, not week one of the regular season, and then obviously what's up ahead. You know, I'll say in the third and fourth game, because I think the Eagles beat the Rams, but you know, at Detroit and then versus either Buffalo, Baltimore, or KC, it's tough. Mm-hmm. And look, I'm not saying there's tremendous shame if you lose one of those games and it's very close. I mean, we'll all be heartbroken, but it happens, and I get it. I respect that. None of us that have doubts about Jalen want to see him be
again,
the reason why the loss.
What does he have to do?
Play better.
To be good enough that...
No, he's already good. He's been good enough for the Eagles to be great.
Okay.
I acknowledge that. But they haven't, you know, won it all yet with
passing
him.
Passing game has to be better. It's just that's
what you got
to
do. Did you just hear him? He said he got
to
win it all.
Well, I guess
well,
that is
it's not. No,
that's what you just said.
You're right.
Well, that's what he said.
I guess that's it.
No, but
so once he wins a Super Bowl, will you no longer say
no.
He might not be good enough to be our quarterback?
Well, it depends where it goes. I mean, listen, the Phillies won the World Series and replaced Pedro Feliz. Now, I'm not saying the Eagles are going to replace Jalen Hurts, but it happens.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens.
A little different between the quarterback and the defensive third baseman guy,
but,
you know?
But my point is, I'm pointing my finger at both these guys now, John Rich and Brandon Graham. Uh-huh. All right, Barry Bonds was good enough, but his team wasn't. Not Barry Bonds' fault.
What are we in that situation?
My point is, he didn't win it all.
How is that related?
Well, I'm just saying it's not all about just winning it all.
It is.
I don't think
it is.
It is.
For me, it is.
Sorry, Joe. I'm not with you on that one.
Yeah. That's all I care about.
Win it all.
Yeah.
Win it all. We just going to take it there. We going to keep it there.
I hope
you're
going to
be a good. You're going to be a good talk show host, Brandon. You're going to be. I mean, you already are. Let's be real.
Let's hold him to that.
You're going to back me down.
When this team wins it all, you need to give Jalen the credit that he deserves.
I will give him credit, but I will.
Okay, that he's our guy moving forward, that he is our franchise
quarterback. If he wins the Super Bowl, he absolutely is the guy moving forward. Like, it's done. It's over.
Hold on a second. It depends how long you define that by. Yes, he would be
it
the quarterback.
Shouldn't.
Nick Foles was gone 2 years later, and Carson was gone 3 years later.
That was a very unique situation where Carson and him combined it for the greatest quarterback season. Carson was young and drafted. This guy is the quarterback all year.
Guys, if Jalen Hurts and the Eagles win a Super Bowl in 4 weeks, he's obviously going to be here in the next 2 to 3 years, okay? Boom.
Not just that, he should be.
He can't say it.
Well, he can't say it.
It would depend on what he put out there.
No, it wouldn't. He would be quarterbacks who ever won us a Super Bowl.
There's a difference between 3 years and 2 years. You guys know my belief.
This team wins
in your world.
He wins a Super Bowl.
Guys, this
Super
team,
Bowl.
Well,
man.
That's what Trent Dilfer did. That's what Doug Williams did.
He's better than those guys.
Team wins primarily. Three reasons. What are they? Defense, Saquon Barkley, offensive line.
We have 12 players on offense every snap.
Okay.
Because of Jalen.
Okay, listen, guys, I didn't come in and do
this. We're getting in the right place.
We need so many wins at a certain point.
How does this turn into a tussle?
You can't say it.
Well, yeah.
Brandon, what do you want me to say?
I just want you to give him his respect when he wins it all.
I will give him respect if he wins it all.
Yeah, and I need you to say.
But if you're going to
say,
if you're expecting me to say he's definitely going to and should be here for the next 5 years, I won't say that.
I ain't looking for that.
But if he wins the Super Bowl, he will and should be. I think that you want it to look a certain way. But if they win and he wins and he contributes to winning, which he does, making plays with his legs or his arms, who cares how it looks at a certain point? All that matters is that the guy wins at an insane clip. And if he wins the Super Bowl, that means he wins it all.
It's just as important to not make mistakes as it is to make big plays. Mm-hmm. He's doing exactly what is asked of him.
That's what he's best at.
He's going out there and doing what the coaches are asking. In this game against the Packers, when guys were covered, he wasn't turning the ball over. That is what led to us having success in that game. When they were putting a blitz look, when they're bringing blitz looks, he's getting out of that play and into the proper one and scoring
John,
a touchdown.
They won the game 2 days ago because of the defense. Period.
Tom
Brady won his first three Super Bowls because of the defense.
That's not accurate.
But more because of the defense than because of the offense.
But
the first three Super Bowls were
Tom Brady
more because of Belt.
And
then Brady grew up and kept learning, and then he won the last four because of him.
Listen.
This is what happens.
Tom Brady was a lot better then than Jalen is now.
I played against Tom Brady that year, the Tuck Rule year.
Okay.
He was not a good quarterback.
He was quote.
He threw like 100 something in the Super Bowl.
He was quote not a good quarterback.
They were winning despite.
He was below average
in spite of Tom Brady's performance.
Oh, that's just nonsense. It's nonsense.
Just like Ben Roethlisberger, the first year that the Steelers when they won with Ben as a rookie,
he struggled.
It was because their defense and their team was good. Mm-hmm. Ben Roethlisberger.
Real quick, because you talked about this specific thing with yardage and games. Yep. Tom Brady, the Rams Super Bowl, threw for 145 yards in the Super Bowl win.
Okay,
just throwing that out there.
Yeah, well, there was. Two times in a row, the Rams had
the
ball.
You just said the same thing.
Time
this
long intercepted. Time long.
145 yards pass. I'm just saying.
Okay, fine.
I remember playing against Tom. He was not Tom Brady.
There's a difference
between he wasn't prime Tom Brady and he was, quote, not good.
He was not the Tom Brady. Anywhere close to the Tom Brady that we see now because the experience had
BJ,
to add up in order for him to
you
be
You
got to
be very happy with yourself. You just put me in the labyrinth, a little like a mouse in a freaking maze.
Hey, man,
is that the word maze?
I had my day. Trust me. It's your turn. and what's that question you asked? What doesn't last long? Hopefully this lasts long, right?
All right. Brandon, stay well, buddy.
No, I appreciate
all right,
you,
so there he is, the great Brandon Graham. Getting ready for what'll be a great playoff weekend. Should involve an Eagles win, but don't take it for granted. But let's be real. I mean, the Rams... It's a solid matchup for the Eagles. I mean, John, it could have been worse. Minnesota could have been legit.
and walloped the Rams. And well,
Minnesota still might be legit.
No.
Their quarterback's not.
Well, but that means they're not.
Joe, you want to hear the craziest thing that I just saw? Field Yates posted it. The Lions lost this year. I mean, the Vikings lost this year in the regular Lions and Rams, and then the Lions and Rams. Those are their four losses. Two to the Lions and two to the Rams.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I was like, I didn't even, like, thinking about it. I was like, wow.
That could be the first time in NFL history a team lost only four games and two teams were involved.
Well, especially one of them not being a division opponent.
That's wild. All right, so look, Minnesota didn't live up to the billing. And two or three weeks ago, I'd started buying in. I think it does make it easier for the Eagles. We'll talk to Elliot about that. Elliot Sherpark joins us shortly. Nick Sirianni at 8:40 today. Let's go to the phones. Chuck in Mount Airy right now. Sirianni in 15 minutes. Good morning, Chuck.
Yo, yo. What's up, morning team? How you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Hi, Chuck.
Hey, listen. Sam Darnold, I tell you, he's quite the treat, isn't he? I told you guys he's a
treat.
Fraud. Cost himself at least 50 million, maybe 100 million.
I mean, let's put it this way. If he won the Super Bowl, he might have gotten a $250 million contract. Now it's probably like 100 and...
And they had drafted that kid there. And
the
remember,
Bowl.
He's still waiting in the wings. He'll be healthy for next year.
I told you. Yeah.
I think he had to just look functional.
Go ahead, Chuck.
Sam Darnold is the worst quarterback in the playoffs. I told you, he's a bum. And that's what happened yesterday. And the Rams are going to get destroyed on Sunday. And I tell you one thing, right? You know who else is left that's a suspect? And that's a bum. And that's Jared Goff. Jared Goff's a fraud. He's going to get eliminated on Sunday.
I don't
Saturday.
Know, man.
That's
he's
gonna, that's going to set up an NFC Championship game here in Philadelphia.
Ooh.
Eagles versus the Commanders for the right to go to the
Can you imagine?
Oh, my God.
For real.
Well, that would be something.
I'm telling you, that would be a beautiful thing, right?
Where does Josh Harris sit?
Oh my God! The Josh Harris Bowl.
Let's hope
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you say that. You know what I mean? Because we're gonna destroy them, and we're gonna wait. We're gonna go to the Super Bowl. But listen, I got to say this, right? I want the Eagles on Sunday to just run the football because the Rams have no answer for our running game. Okay, you got to remember, this team that started 1-4.
Don't you think, Chuck, that they're gonna come into this game with a plan to stop the 9.8 yards of carry that Saquon put on him? I would expect they're going to come in here with an extra guy down in the box whenever possible, and they're going to be jockeying those safeties back and forth and sending guys on, you know, special run blitzes and just trying to plug as many holes up front as they can. Last night, part of their success, the Rams' success defensively, was they showed multiple looks to Darnold and got after him. They beat the offensive line by, I don't know, volume of looks that they just couldn't identify all of them. New stuff.
Well, they also stopped Aaron Jones pretty effectively, early especially, which was putting in Darnold's
hand. Hey, John.
Yeah.
Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth.
Oh,
that's a good point.
Look at you quoting Mike Tyson.
This time of year, we are exactly what you need to be, which is big and tough. We're the bully on both sides of the football. The nasties up front, offensive line and defensive line. Man, we're in good shape.
All right, Chuck, I got a lot to get to here. Give me an answer. What did not last long?
Hold on.
I got to move, Chuck.
The Eagles, real quick, right?
All right, Chuck, I appreciate the call. I'm not trying to be rude. I got Sirianni coming up shortly. I got to get to Elliot. Let's remind you the Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. In 2025, Armin Chevrolet proudly celebrating 25 years of serving the automotive needs of the Delaware Valley. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. Poll question, who should the Eagles kicker be versus the Rams? Should it be Jake Elliott or choice B, the best available free agent kicker? All right, let's bring Elliot Sherpark on. Let's start with that question. Elliot, who should the kicker be?
It should absolutely be Jake Elliott. I don't even think it's a question.
It's got to be a question. I think it will be Elliott, but he missed a kick every game.
Yeah, he missed an extra point. But then when they needed him to make two kicks late, he made them. Like, I agree, he's not having his best year. But the idea of bringing in a free agent kicker right now in the second round of the playoffs, I think would be a catastrophic mistake by the Eagles.
Well, it would make me uncomfortable also, okay? But let me be very clear. Jake Elliott kicking makes me uncomfortable. I mean, I'm just being honest.
But Jake Elliott would be so uncomfortable by that lack of belief by the organization this late
in the season, Elliot,
it feels like it's a non-starter.
Let me ask this question. I mean, because every week we just keep playing it forward another week. I'll just ask this question. If they win, but he misses another kick this week, do you change your mind for next week?
No.
Okay. Well, I mean, you're on the record.
It's
I'm just saying.
Too late. I think it's too late. No matter how.
Dude, that's like saying I got to go to Craig Kimbrell. I got to.
Unless
I
he's injured. He's in my bullpen. Unless he is hurt to where he can't physically do it.
Yeah. All right, Elliot, there's a lot more to get to than just that. And by the way, let me remind Elliot, or remind everyone, Elliot with us every Tuesday at this time. Brought to us by Colonial Hyundai. Shop online 24/7 at colonialhyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the fast, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. So, Elliot, I mean, the Rams, I don't want to say take it for granted. That would not be smart. But as second round draws go, this is pretty good, man. I mean, it's a lot different than what Buffalo's dealing with is the two seed in the AFC having to face freaking Baltimore. I mean, the Eagles get a Rams team. Let's be real. If the Eagles lose, it'll be a pretty damn big surprise.
Yeah, so this game reminds me a lot of 2022 when the Giants beat the Vikings in the playoffs and everyone tried to talk themselves into like, well, don't take it for granted that, you know, that team played well. They just beat Minnesota. Like, no. The Rams are the perfect matchup for this Eagles team. I think this is, like, the line's 5.5. I think they could easily double that. I think this is going to be a really good showing by the Eagles, and I also think the Rams are the perfect opponent to do it against. You think of the Rams as some, like, offensive juggernaut. The numbers just don't back that up this year. They've scored over 30 points 2 times this year. For all those weapons they have, they've done it twice. Their defense was 26th in the league in points allowed. They just don't, or I'm sorry, 26th in the league in points per drive.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
They just aren't a very good team. They beat Minnesota, and credit for that, but we've seen teams beat Minnesota in the playoffs, and that is not the beginning of some magical run. It's just taking advantage of a Minnesota team that always takes. So I think this is the perfect matchup for them.
Yeah, football is about matchups, and we match up so well. We can push this team around. That's the bottom line, and I expect that we'll continue to do so. Our injury situation, Elliot, is just magnificent. 21 out of 22 starters still up, as far as I know. Those starters, those 21 starters, everyone's pretty good, correct? Physically speaking?
Yeah, they should be healthy. I mean, obviously, we'll see throughout the week. Last week, you know, you went into the week thinking, oh, everyone's healthy, and then AJ misses 2 days, Devontae misses a day. So the early indications are it seems like both came out of the game without making their situations worse. But we'll see on Wednesday when they practice. But you are right. Obviously, the Nakobe loss is a big one. I don't just want to brush over that. But the other 21 starters, yeah, I mean, it seems like they're in good shape going into this game.
So in this last game, I was sort of surprised when I looked at the snap counts. Jordan Davis had 13. And, you know, this late in the season, a lot of people are – I was under the impression that he was getting a lot more than that. And that's by far the fewest of any D lineman. For, you know, Milton Williams had 43 snaps. Jalen Carter had 62 snaps. Jordan Davis, D tackle, 13 snaps. Yeah. Why? Is everything good there? And is that just the way it's been? He's in base only, and we should just come to expect that?
Yeah, so I think part of the reason for that big discrepancy in snap count is just Jalen Carter and Milton Williams are better players than Jordan Davis. So that's why they're out there more. But in terms of him only playing a few amount of snaps, I think there's two ways to look at this. There's like the, larger picture, draft allocation, was he worth the 13th overall pick? That's certainly a discussion to have. And I think as of now, probably not, right? He's not turned into the player the Eagles thought he would. And I think they would tell you that. When they drafted him, they said he needs to become an impact player on third down, and that has not happened. So there's that way to look at it. But the other way to look at it, and probably the more important way right now, is the defense is playing outstanding. So if they were struggling against the run or the line defensive line wasn't playing well, then it would really matter that Jordan Davis, that they put a big resource in, wasn't playing well. It's kind of like how Bryce Huff played one snap this past week, but it didn't really matter because the defense turned in an outstanding performance. So I understand like the question and why on a larger scale, like, yeah, this is probably not what they expected. But with the unit playing so well, it's hard for me to sit here and go, well, only 13 snaps from Jordan Davis, because clearly the way they're using the players on the line is working.
Sure. When we look around the rest of our division, we got one up and comer in Washington, and then Dallas.
Yeah,
is Dallas better off without Mike McCarthy?
You know, it's tough because Mike McCarthy, for as much as everyone likes to joke about him and they always lose in the playoffs, I know this year that didn't happen where they obviously make the playoffs, but they are a pretty consistent 10-11 win team under Mike McCarthy. That's not easy to do. So I actually do think like there is some risk in letting go of Mike McCarthy. Now, Kellen Moore, there was some rumors yesterday that maybe he could be the head coach there. And I actually think that is something that if you're afraid of losing Kellen Moore, that should probably worry you because he does make sense there. But whenever you hire a new head coach like a Kellen Moore, you don't know how that's going to work out. So Mike McCarthy, I don't think had, the high ceiling that maybe a young up-and-coming head coach would. But he also had a pretty high floor. So, I think, it's an interesting move for the Cowboys.
How worried are you that we'll lose Kellen Moore?
I'm not that worried about losing Kellen Moore, not to completely diminish what he's done this year, but for all the talk all offseason about, he's going to run the offense, he's going to call the plays. Like, I don't think that really came to fruition. I think it's still pretty clear Nick's very involved in the offense. I think Jeff Stoutland's involved in the offense a lot. I think Jamal Singleton's involved. So, like, losing the play caller would hurt for sure. And that we've seen the transition can be hard. But if they lose Kellen Moore, I don't think this is like the offense is going to take a major step back and it's a huge deal. So, I think if they do, it wouldn't be great. But I think they could replace him.
Elliot Short Parks with us right now, as he is every Tuesday at this time. Nick Sirianni joins us in about 5 minutes. Elliot, I saw a social media post you had yesterday. Fascinating. You're welcome. Where you made the case that Jalen played a lot better than people perceived when watching the game live, particularly on TV on Sunday. Can you break that down for people that didn't see that?
Yeah, so I think the reaction to Jalen's game was that he was awful. Like, he didn't play well. The passing game was really bad. For me, for a quarterback to have a really bad game, there's three things I look at. One is turnovers. Two is missed throws where guys are open or there's throws made, he just misses them. Or three, where there's missed opportunities where a guy's open and he's not even throwing the ball to him. When I rewatched the game, I didn't see any of that from Jalen. You could argue like the fake tush push, the throw to AJ, maybe that's not a
that
great
was
throw.
A missed throw.
But like I didn't think he was wide open. It just wasn't a great throw. So you could maybe say that one. But outside of that, when I rewatched it, I think what happened in this game was they went up quickly 10-0, probably unexpectedly. And from there on out, they just decided, you know what? Like, only throw that ball if the guy is wide open and be safe with the ball. So it was not the performance he had against Pittsburgh. He's had better games. But what they needed Jalen to do on Sunday was not turn the ball over. And if Jalen plays that brand of football the rest of the season, the rest of these playoffs, I think they're probably going to win the Super Bowl. Because if he takes care of the ball, the rest of the team is good enough for them to win.
Yeah, Elliot, right now. Elliot, was AJ hampered, in your opinion, by the knee? Is that part of why he wasn't open as often as he sometimes is?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I would actually like to ask him this, but I thought on the one pass he did have, if you watch, he kind of turned to catch it and he slipped. Now, maybe that's the new grass and that's what it was, but also you wonder if he's planting his knee and that didn't work. So, when I rewatched it, I didn't see AJ like wide open and he was being missed. It's a good question. I didn't think he looked hampered running, maybe on the fake tush push. He doesn't have that speed he normally does, but I didn't, when I watched all of AJ's routes yesterday, I didn't come away feeling concerned about his health.
All right, Elliot, good work, bud. We'll talk to you on Friday, getting ready for the game. Thanks, Elliot.
Yep, sounds good.
All right, bud. Nick Sirianni, in just the next couple minutes, will join us here on WIP as he gets ready for his, let me figure this out, 7th playoff game? 3-3, right?
Yep.
That's a lot, man. You're 4 years in, it's your 7th playoff game.
Are you going to start out with asking him if he's going to replace his kicker?
No. But I'll tell you what I am. I'll tell you what I'm going to ask him about the kicker. Is the kicker hurt?
Yeah.
Is the kicker hurt? I mean, I think it's a legitimate question. I mean, what in that world?
The extra point was very concerning.
Yeah. What is?
And that could have loomed large in that game. I kept looking. I kept doing the math, going, oh. God.
I know. Look, it made it what a 13 point. At some point, it was a 13 point game when it could have been 14, and that stuff gets scary sometimes. All right, Sirianni. Shortly, let's talk to Mike right now. Mike, good morning, buddy.
Good morning, everybody.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, real quick, I just wanted to give a shout-out to a kid named Chase. He was feeding me beers when I was working out in the parking lot at the tailgate this weekend. So, Chase, you still listening? There you go. Give me a shout-out.
There you go.
Now, here we go. Listen, I love the Jalen talk, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I think it's going to be completely irrelevant for this game. I think we have a team that's coming in. Look, they've been on a high with all the stuff that's going on with that in L.A. They're going to be coming in, like you guys said earlier, a day and a half less rest than us, traveling all over the country. They're going to be so tired. They are banged up, and they are running into the big, bad bully. I think we are going to completely destroy them. And when I say destroy them, I'm not saying Jalen's going to be thrown all over the place. I don't care. Honestly, I almost don't care what Jalen's going to do. I think that they're not going to be able to move the ball on us. I think Saquon is going to do another 150-plus game. We're just going to ball control.
Yeah.
And we're just going to beat the snot out of them.
One thing the Eagles do, and you don't see it, well, sometimes you do, but I'd say it's on the rare side for an elite team. You know, 14-3, you're elite. They don't blow out many opponents, but they control the game.
Yes.
They control the game. Now, last week was particularly unique because it was basically like they started the first and second half with the ball. And so, obviously, having the ball on the 20-yard line and touchdown right away and 7-0 lead, I mean, that's the first time this year that's happened, you know, like that. But they control, they wear you down, they control the game, they are methodical, and that's how they win. And that is a large part of how I expect them to beat the Rams.
I'm with you, Joe. And listen, sometimes you just win games by sheer physicality and toughness. And that's what we are. And that's what I'm expecting.
Sometimes, I feel like almost all the time in the postseason, the team that's tougher and more physical has a great chance to win.
Wouldn't the Rams be an exception in that, though? The last 5 years, and they've won their playoff games, and they won a Super Bowl. Like, I've never viewed them as...
They had a balanced offense that year with the run game, don't you think? They leaned more into it.
I think Cooper Kupp and Stafford were on fire.
Yes. Aaron Donald was awesome physical.
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. Aaron Donald for sure. All right, Mike, give me an answer. What did not last long? You can win Metallica tickets.
One day, Bill Belichick was the New York Jets head coach.
Dude, that could win. That could win. Belichick with the Jets. Two different times he was their coach. One time it was for one day. That's a great answer right there. All right, Sirianni shortly. Let's talk to Jeff calling from Camden. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, the 76ers certainly did not end up in Camden. We know that.
They're not going to end up in South Philly either. No.
Well, they're going to be in South Philly.
They're not going to end up in Center City. Or Chinatown.
Correct.
Yes. Well, hey, man, I just want to say, as an Eagles ally all these years and a Rams fan, I just want to say, good luck. I want to see just the best team win it and not for lack of focus. For example.
Well, that means the Eagles will win it.
Yeah, and we don't extend good luck. We appreciate your kindness, but we do not extend good luck.
Hey, I hear you, but what I want to see is just the better team win, not for a lack of focus. For example, Triple Crown winner, Cooper Kupp only caught one pass last night, but AJ Brown caught one pass and was reading a book.
Cooper Kupp was sensational. He's not as dynamic as he used to be. He seems to me to be affected by the injuries. Yeah. All right, Jeff, I want to get to Nick Sirianni, who's ready to go. Give me a great answer. For Metallica tickets, what did not last long?
In honor of Rocky Balboa, fingerless gloves.
Fingerless gloves?
Yeah, like, you know, Rocky at the beginning has those gloves, like,
you
ride, like, bikes with them or, like, motorcycle gloves type of gloves. Oh. It was, like, leather gloves with the fingerless things.
Okay. Because I was thinking boxing gloves, and that's why I was confused. Yeah. How does that tie in a rock? All right, let's talk to the Eagles head coach, Nick Sirianni. Of course, Rock, a Philly champ. How many times did he win the belt? So he beats Apollo, that's for the belt. He beats Clubber, that's for the belt. And I don't know if...
Drago wasn't the belt, though.
Drago might not have been saying
that. Yeah, that was in sanctuary, I don't think.
So I think Rocky was a two-time champ.
There was probably an international belt.
I don't know. I mean, during the Cold War, I don't know.
All right, with that said, let's talk to Nick Sirianni. He's trying to get the belt for the first time. Three more games to do it, and, of course, the next one against the Los Angeles Rams. Eagles coming off the victory the other day, and we welcome the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, Nick Sirianni. Nick, congratulations on the win the other day, and welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So Nick, before we look back, let's look ahead for... Well, actually, let's look back by talking Rams last night. Unique situation. You have a chance on a nighttime game Monday night to find out who you're going to play. Do you watch the Rams and Vikings for all 3 hours? I know you're in prep mode. You got family thing. Like, do you watch that game for all 3 hours?
Yeah, of course. You know, you're continuing to get ready for both teams. You're continuing to... You know, pretty much the game that you had on Sunday is cleaned up, but you got to prep for two teams, and so you're watching that and seeing how it's going. And as the game shifts, which it did in that game a little bit, then you kind of move your focus on to the Rams somewhere around. I won't say when we started going Rams, but you know, there was definitely a distinct time where we were like, okay, let's start getting ready for the Rams only.
That's fascinating. And are you communicating, you're texting that to your coaches? You know, I get you won't say what quarter, but yeah.
Maximize your time.
I get it. Yeah.
We're still in here. We're still hitting there here together at that point. And still grinding it out.
So how much have the Rams improved since November 24th?
You know, I think going into our game against the Rams, they had been pretty hot. They had won like 4 out of 5 to start. Before we went in there and played them, our game happened, and then they got hot again. This is a good football team with really good players, really good quarterback, and I can't tell you how much respect I have for Sean McVay and the coach that he is. And you can just tell it's all over his tape of how good of a coach he is.
Nick Sirianni here with us. Nick, what'd you make your squad's performance the other day? It was different in that you had the early lead and essentially had the ball to start both halves, if you will. What'd you make of how your team played? And again, congrats on that victory.
Yeah, winning a playoff game is a big deal. And, that's our goal, is to win another one this week. And, it's hard to do. As I think one thing you take from it is, like, there's going to be mistakes in playoff football. And what I mean by that is there are going to be mistakes that the other team forces. Like, hey, why did we miss this tackle? Well, Josh Jacobs made a really good move right there. That's how we missed it. Or, you know, whatever it is. And so you got to be able to play the next play because there's going to be things that happen that are good. And that's football in general, but even more so in the playoffs. There's going to be things that are happening that are good. There's going to be things that happen that are bad. And then can you put yourself in a mindset to play the next play? And I think our guys did just that. You know, it wasn't clean. We had to clean things up yesterday, and that's what yesterday was about. But every time it wasn't clean, we followed it up by a good play or a good drive that helped us, you know, keep the lead, get the lead, grow the lead even further. And I think that was evident all over the tape. And you know, we're on to the next one now. But it's good to get a playoff win.
Nick, do you think rust affected Jalen's performance? Were the couple weeks off a factor?
I thought as an offense as a whole, there was things we needed to clean up as we did. But I do think that when they go down 10, we're up 10-0 for a majority of the first half and into the third quarter. Then it becomes 10-3. And then our offense goes right down and scores. So it makes it 16-3. Then they score a touchdown at 16-10. Our offense gets the ball and we get a field goal. And we drive down and score, get a field goal. So I thought that, you can look at a lot of the, like I said, this playoff football, there's going to be some things that happen that are good. There's going to be some things that happen are bad. But I think in those moments, hey, we needed it. Everything was on the line. You know, we had to go back up 2 scores. You know, Jalen led our team down led our team down the field and scored. You know, made a great check for a touchdown to Dallas. Just did a lot of good things to help us win that football game. Do we want plays back as an offense? Yeah. Is he going to want plays back? Of course. That's the way football goes. But in times of hey, we need it now. Jalen Hurts made some big-time plays, some big-time checks, some big-time throws, and that's what he's continued to do. Like, you know, I think, you know, when you win 15 games as we have this year, like, Jalen's played really efficient football. You can't win 15 games unless your quarterback's playing efficient, playing really good football, taking care of the football. You know, he protected the ball in that game that we played the other night, and, you know, the other team didn't as much, right? And we won that turnover battle, which has made it a big, big deal in that game.
Nick, how much did receivers struggle to get open more than usual against the Packers?
Our receivers are able to get open again when it's one-on-one coverage and it's true, you know, like that. Our receivers know how to get open, find ways to get open, and I think the same can be true for when our receivers field at zone. You know, they have a good feel like of where to sit in the zones, where to sit, but there's rules to where you got to sit in zones as well. I thought we were efficient in the pass game. I thought that there was things we're going to all want back, but I never worry about, you know that sign in AJ's locker, always open. He's always open. So I never worry about those guys getting open. I never worry about that because we got some of the best receivers in the NFL, and it was great to have Dallas back. Listen, at the end of the day, we did what we needed to do to win the football game, and that's the only thing that matters. How do you win the football game? And we found a way to do that.
Nick Sirianni with us right now. You know, Nick, the loss of Nakobe, to me, there's two different elements, at least as I say it. One, obviously, not having him for the next 3 weeks. But the other is just Nakobe, the guy, and the impact on his life. I mean, he was and still is eligible for a contract in a couple months and very well may have gotten a nice payday. I'm just curious, you know, you talk so much about connectivity. You know, how do you approach a guy like Nakobe when it's a serious injury like that, knowing that he's going through an awful lot right now?
Yeah, injuries being part of this game, that stinks. You know, what I try to do is, you know, as I was a sophomore in college, I had a major injury that really, you know, really affected me, and it was really hard for me to be out and not playing and, you know, with my teammates there in college. And I've always used that as a, like, hey, because of how bad it hurt me, the injury just not being out there, I've always used that to kind of connect with my guys here and let them know, at least, you know, from a different level, I know what they're going through. Maybe not a professional football level, but a college football level. And, you know, it just gives you an opportunity to be there for the guys in those moments and, you know, to share your story. Because when you can share your story and show, hey, there's light at the end of this tunnel, and you know I really attribute my injury to everything that I've kind of encountered in my career, and the good you can see the good in it now. You're able to share that with the guys, and so I always take that very seriously. I'm gonna miss Nakobe out there, and you know, because he is a phenomenal player, he's a phenomenal person, he's a phenomenal teammate. And nobody works like him to get himself ready for a game. I'm just so impressed by what he does to do that. And so that's where you find a way to connect with the guys through old experiences. And hopefully you give them a little bit of hope that, you know, it's you're going through a hard time now, but there's going to be a positive to this. But we sure as heck will miss him. I know he'll miss being out there. This guy loves football, so I felt it yesterday in team meeting how much he's going to miss it. So now our job is just wrap our arms around him, be there for him, and know that we need him, and the reason we're in this spot is because of him, and we need him, and he's going to lead. I have no doubt he'll watch the tape that he needs to watch with the guys this week to help them get prepared, because that's the type of teammate he is. That's the type of person he is. I can't say enough good things about Nakobe Dean.
How much has the, defensively speaking, making up for Nakobe's loss? The pass rush was so amazing and consistent and powerful in this last game. And it feels like for the last stretch of the season, the improvement in the pass rush was just massive. How much has that improvement surprised you, Nick?
Yeah, not surprised, because I think we got the right guys up front. Howie and his staff have done a great job of getting guys in here. you know, what a contribution we've had from some young guys and to help out. We got some really talented guys. I think Milton Williams has done a nice job as he gets one-on-one situations. And we've just gotten contributions and from each guy. I think our team has embraced the group rush. What I mean by that is it's not just, they got five and sometimes six and sometimes seven to block your four or whatever many you're blitzing on the play. And so I guess sometimes that feels like it's not a fair fight. So you got to win as a group, right? You got to win as a group rush, and our guys have embraced that. You can see how our guys celebrate together after that, because they know it takes all of the guys up front and the guys in the back end that are doing the coverage on that. And so, I heard Nolan Smith say something like, "Yeah, I'm gonna give my playoff check to Milton Williams," and because he knows that helped him out getting home and getting the sacks last game. So wow. It's just the embodiment of our team that I truly believe, and I think you guys can see it too, that they're truly happy for each other. They truly are celebrating together. They are selfless players, and I love that about this team, because again, at the end of the day, in this sport, it's not the best groups of individuals that win; it's the best teams.
Yeah, Nick, we've been so impressed. But your guys up front, obviously your whole squad, but your guys up front—it's remarkable what they've done. Nick, let's talk about the AJ reading the book thing. And it's important to say it's a self-help book; it's not just some random book. So it's a self-help book. It's a strange visual, obviously. Are you okay with him reading a self-help book on the sideline, or would you rather he not?
No, I'm definitely okay with it. Everybody has their. The crazy thing is it's been happening for, he's been reading this book on the sideline for a long time. It just so happened that a camera saw it this week and kind of, I don't know if made a big deal about it or not, but everybody has their own way. We talk so much about dog mentality, playing the next play, focusing your mind on what you're about to do so you can play with great effort and great detail. And some guys pray, in between. Some guys meditate in between. Some guys, AJ reads in between. Whatever these guys need to do to put their mind in a place where they can play with great detail and great effort, I fully encourage them to do that. And AJ is, I love AJ. He's such a good teammate, and I find it, a little bit like I saw Jahan Dotson said something like defending AJ, and I thought that was awesome too. Just another opportunity, another example of our teammates defending each other. That we don't do any research to figure out why, how long he's been doing it, why he's doing it, what he's reading. I mean, he's not reading a romance novel on the sideline. Like whatever he's we don't but do any research that... and we jump to a conclusion. Of he must be disgruntled. That to me is lazy, and everyone needs to figure out why he's doing it before they jump to judgment on the man, because the man, AJ Brown, is a great, 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 great person. The man, AJ Brown, is the best receiver that, and I'll say it without hesitation, is the best receiver that this city's ever seen. The man, AJ Brown, is one of the best teammates that in the world to his guys, not there's the best receiver, the one of the best teammates. This guy is top notch. There's a reason he's done all the things he can do. And I love AJ Brown. And it's hard for me to watch when people are getting on him without doing the proper research of who the man is and what he's doing in the first place.
Well, I admire Nick, his ability, certainly, or desire to lock in mentally. And I think that's fantastic. I really do. All right, Nick, final thing here. Jake Elliott, we've wondered this for a few weeks. Is he injured? Is there something physical that's impacting his effectiveness as a kicker?
I think what you saw after the missed extra point is two unbelievable plays that, I talked about the offense leading us down to score, but two unbelievable plays to go up 16 to 19 and then 19 to 22. So I think that showed that, he's healthy. Just a misfortunate hit on the extra point. But he embodies the dog mentality too. Like, okay, it hasn't went well It didn't go well in that kick where he missed the extra point, but he figured out a way to make the next one and completely be in the moment and play. Maybe he read AJ's book on the sideline with him because he played with great detail and great effort after that and really helped us, seal that game and win that game. All that's important is this next game, and I have no doubt in my mind that Jake is going to be ready for this next game and make kicks that's going to help us, on our way for this next game.
All right, well, Nick, speaking of that next game, absolute best of luck to you. The Eagles and the Rams, obviously, Sunday at 3 o'clock. We're going to give away tickets to that game coming up on Friday. We look forward to that. Nick, good luck on Sunday and the rest of the way, and we'll talk to you next week. Thank you, Nick.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Thanks,
all right,
Coach.
There he is, Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni.